26th and 4 p.m. Would everybody please, oh, just let everybody know this meeting is being recorded, and would everybody please stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys. All right, roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Here.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Correspondents. Okay, thank you. Chief, were there any public comments received by phone, mail, or email, and that these must be the ones from the mail?
Those are the mail that I have received for the past few weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to hand those out.
Pass those around here in a minute.
A couple of them, I'll just, so one of them, well, actually two of them for the same person. One's a lady gave a donation at the pancake thing for $2,000, and then she was so happy with us, and they gave us another check for $3,000.
Jesus.
Wow.
That'll fix your septic tank, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, more money.
Yeah, it goes to the Volunteer Association. Doesn't go for Nancy's pay raise.
That's so very nice.
She got one raised last meeting.
She did, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long one. let's move down to board minutes of 6:10 of 2026. Any review or discussion?
I shall move.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Motion passes.
Okay. Let's roll down to financials. Banking. Has the Secretary Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliations?
Yes, I have, except I don't have the LGIP account paperwork yet. They mail it, so it should be here in a day or two.
Okay. Thank you.
And you also have your audit in there.
Yeah, we'll get that in a minute. Monthly financial report. Review and discussion, Chief.
So this one that you have is at the end of the year. It's not the final, because we do have some things that come in over the next 30 to 60 days that will apply to this fiscal year. So if you have any questions on what you see there, I think the big expenditures that we've talked about, if you look on page 3, the medical costs and the backgrounds for the volunteers are over 100%. And then the one that kind of got us a little bit on page 4, PERS was 5% over what we predicted, $47,000, which is kind of a bigger hit. And then medical costs for the staff were at 116%. Our audit, we already discussed. Bank charges, we'll take care of this next year. We'll add some more. See any of those big numbers that you talk about? Software programs, we're a little bit higher on that because we had some stuff that carried over from the previous year that got charged to this year just because of the way the bills landed. Travel, meals, and staff, well, I blame that on Cody for going back and getting the brush rig, so we had to charge that someplace. The big one on page 7 is the training tower. That was that roof replacement that went through there, page 7, so that...
Yep.
That
339%.
So we were $9,000, $9,500 over what we had budgeted for that. On page 9, you see that fuel costs, we were $11,000 higher than was predicted for the year. equipment repairs, not too much, you know, $500 over. But at the end of the day, total public safety expenditures, we were at 92%, so we're $685,000 below. But again, for the next 60 days, items will come in that that need to get paid for.
So we have money.
Not that much.
Just noting.
Because the next 2 months, items will be coming in we have to pay for.
Wow.
We have money, but not enough. We're broke.
No, we're not.
It's good fiscal management.
Excellent treasurer.
Any further discussion on the financial report? Looking for a motion to approve the financial report.
I move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Motion passes.
Okay, moving down to the QuickBook audit. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review it. Do we have any discussion on that? Nancy, do you have anything further?
Nope, I quit. You really only get $6.72 from IHN for ambulance? It was like four, five, six of those.
What are you talking about?
In the general fund. Some of those were $6.72 payments.
So that's probably for the mileage charge, not for the...
Okay.
Because you get a base rate and you have mileage, and because it's Medicaid, you get discounted. So for that $1,600 that we charged and we got $311, I would bet that $6.72 was for the mileage.
Okay. It just says IHN, so it doesn't specify. That was
Intercommunity Health Network.
Oh, I know what it is.
Samaritan.
I know. Mm-hmm. That was it. Unless anybody has questions.
No, I don't. Thank you for getting that done, Nancy.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot of work, but appreciate you.
Took an hour, but that was all right.
All right, let's move down to new business. Item number one, Local 5169 CBA 2026-2027 pay scale. Any review or discussion on that? Chief, do you have any updates on that at all?
No, that was, so they accepted our proposal at 2.9% that we discussed. So it went to the union. The two guys on the committee presented their case back to them, and it was voted on and passed. So this is their acceptance. It's not finalized until you guys accept the other half of it, and then we can move forward with their pay raise.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? I'm looking for a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxnall?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Motion passes.
And thank you for signing early and getting it done this year.
Local Union 5169 report. Do you guys have anything?
Nothing was submitted.
Right.
They didn't submit anything, no sir.
All right, we'll move down to committee staff reports.
Safety committee meeting is there from their June meeting. If anybody sees anything on there that they'd like to bring up. Nothing?
Okay.
Next, Chief's Heights report is in there. Fire Marshal reports.
It all looks good, thank you guys.
Anything there? Oh. Chief Bickerdike's board report, all his training hours.
No, wait a minute.
What?
Oh. Cody, any comments on the fire on the hill?
There was a fire on the hill.
Yeah.
Caused by fireworks. Working on, talked to Sergeant Burke today. Get our report sent to him, plus what our costs were to send down to the DA's office. So
Thank you.
Chief Bickerdike's report's next in there, the training hours for the month of June. Any questions for Chief Bickerdike? Okay, he does have, I'll make a mention, he's got the mobile fire training unit down there for the next couple of weeks, and so they'll, starting on Monday, they'll, DPSST will be down there actively working on getting that, people through that training prop, and there'll be lots of other agencies and lots of stuff going on down there.
Is that the one where they shoot the fire and they have to crawl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. You got to go in the control room last
mm-hmm.
year, didn't you?
That's good, that's a good one to see if
yep.
anybody's interested.
My report as follows there. You can see we've done quite a few interfacility transfers last month. Six transports, three of them interfacility. Made a little bit of money on that. You can see the money's received there. Equipment maintenance stuff, so a couple important things there. We had a pretty significant plumbing leak at Station 16. It was due to a urinal in the men's bathroom, had a leak behind it, and it didn't get discovered for a while. A lot of damage to sheetrock, to a bed frame, it was a wooden bed frame, and then some carpeting, so that's all.
Huh.
It's almost finished. Bob painted it out today, so the urinal was replaced, the plumbing in the wall was fixed, and the painting was, sheetrock was done, the painting was replaced. There was a small amount of mold, not a lot. There was a little bit of mold in there. Wasn't such a big deal. The other thing is, again, because it's summertime, landscaping's going on, and then the only real equipment, vehicle stuff is, I put in here that finally the county shops was able to fix engine 16's rear brakes, the slack adjusters came in, and so that was done. Vehicle sales purchases, so Rush 16, Rescue 12 are slated to get sold. Cody's working on getting them listed. GovDeals doesn't want to give us as much, or doesn't want us to list it for as much as we want, so he's working with another couple of people who are going to put it on their websites and try and get those sold at a higher price. So the new brush truck is almost ready. There's a walked around today and looked. There's quite a few other things that need to be finished on it before it's, their plan is to try it next week, get it in service. So on Monday or Tuesday, they've got to install a few more pieces of equipment, things like that. The ladder truck, so the final payment was made in this last month. The arrival has now been pushed till probably the end of August. I think, Dave, you said there are pictures that the chassis and the cab have been mounted together, so that's put together, so they'll be working on putting the ladder together and get that off to us. Alarm responses, you can see, it's kind of my fault I haven't gotten back with the OSFM folks about getting the printout like we used to. Nobody's jumping up and down wanting to see it, but so we responded. We had a little 5% increase from June over June. But again, from year to date, we're still 1% less than we did over last year. Couple of high visibility events. We had two that involved the Coast Guard. One was a flight from, it was actually a mutual aid call at Devil's Punch Bowl, in which the gal was committing suicide and jumped over the edge and stuff. And our guys were there covering Depot Bay because they were down in Newport on a fire. They ended up being the first ones going over the side, started assessing her, and then the Coast Guard came and hoisted her up and then put our paramedics in the back and flew to directly to Corvallis Hospital. It wasn't a favorable outcome, but our participation in it they did a great job. The other one they did with the Coast Guard is up on God's Thumb. Again, hoisted a guy with, I think it was a broken ankle or something like that, and then flew him without our paramedic in the back, but took him directly to the hospital there. So we've been working with the Coast Guard quite. And then another larger one was the officer involved shooting up on Highway 229, where the Oregon State Police neutralized a guy up there. Personnel hiring that we've got going on. Firefighter Seedling, raise your hand. He's completed his probation, so we'll see how he does from now on.
Congratulations.
We did have two temporary full-time employees start one last week and then one this week that are taking the place of, as I've said before, Trent Rainforth, who's off to the National Guard, and then John Wilkinson, who's going to have his surgery. We've only had one volunteer apply for our summer up staffing, and so we're trying to encourage some more people to do it. Those shifts are out there, but that person's only worked one shift so far. It was actually on July 4th, so we were able to put the brush rake out in Otis Rose Lodge during the day on the 4th of July.
So we're doing Friday, Saturday?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's 10-hour shifts. Again, nobody has signed up for any of them. We just don't have any participation this year. Again, you can see the number of people on our roster. We do have one person who is a new volunteer in backgrounds and a physical right now, so that would bring our roster up to 32 people. We do have a potential person who's going to leave and go to Albany Fire in September, so we've started the process with the NTN testing to establish a list, since our list is more than 2 years old. And so I get a report from them every time somebody adds us to it, so we actually got quite a few people that have applied through NTN, not submitted applications, but have done the tests and want the test scores submitted to us. We'll start getting the applications, and that's good until the middle of August is when that'll close out.
I have been receiving applications.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a few.
Not telling me about it.
You haven't been here. You're not sharing the test scores with me, so neener.
And so anyway, that's through NTN folks there. Under just the good of the order stuff, so we had a meeting with Oregon Parks and Rec, ODF, and everybody talking about all the driftwood and all the stuff down there. Oregon Parks and Rec has decided that it's not their property, but they have jurisdiction over telling everybody what happens. And so what they came to us, what they kind of at the end of the day said, is that we can get an emergency permit to move the driftwood and pile it up, burn it, whatever, but we have to go through a permitting process to do that. And so we settled on the fact that the city is going to be in charge of getting the permit together, because most of the area is on city property. So they'll apply, get the permits. ODF's going to write a letter in support of what we're doing and in support of us disposing of it in a training fashion. In other words, we're going to burn it.
Burn.
And we're going to call it training.
What part of the city is responsible with this?
What part? I'd have to show you a map.
No, I know, but what department is?
Public Works.
Okay.
So Public Works, and I think the city manager kind of left it. I know Jeff Rondino was on the call, and I think he kind of turfed everything over to Rondino to work with and get that stuff done. So it's a work in progress. It's not going to get done anytime soon, but we'll do that. So 4th of July barbecue is at Station 15. A lot of, that's where the cops were. Wasn't a lot of people there. We didn't end up with a lot of volunteers there. We had a lot of food. We could have had some more folks. That would have been nice for sure. So not much else we can do on that. Strategic Plan Committee. So I know that we have two members of the Strategic Plan Committee here. I reached out to both the volunteers and the career staff. Career staff has already nominated, put forth one person to be on the committee. The volunteers are still waiting to decide which member, but then they asked if they could have two because they had a whole bunch of people want to be on it. You get too many people on a committee, it might be, but I don't think it's a bad thing. And so
you can
if they
make
want,
them work.
If they want to put one more on it, I'm okay with that. Burn ban is still going until October 15th. We're doing preparations for our conflagration stuff. In fact, next Wednesday we're having a countywide pre-deployment drill down in Depot Bay, in which we'll send a few of our folks that are going out on conflagration will be down there to just, this is how the process works. Just today they activated two task forces to go to Grant County, where there's a couple of fires that have started right now, and they're just part of an initial response. It's not been declared a conflagration per the governor yet.
Is that in Baker?
What's that?
Wasn't there something in Baker?
Grant, Baker, right on the border in there. There's right a bunch. our Homeland Security grant, all items have been purchased, and they'll be paid for and our money back from that in this next fiscal year. And so that was 40 tourniquets for CERT, that gets us 10 current tourniquets for us, and then we have these ballistic helmets that have been ordered but haven't come in yet.
What does CERT need tourniquets for?
Because the ones they bought were knockoffs from China that don't work very well. And when,
are they drawing blood and doing IVs?
For a combat tourniquet, so I chop my arm off, I need to stop the bleeding tourniquet.
Okay.
They're not starting IVs.
Well, okay.
Because it's major bleeding. I'll give you a class on it if you need help.
Say somebody got shot in the leg or something. You could self.
And so when Hunter was going through their equipment with them, he saw the tourniquets that they got, and he says, "Where'd you guys get these?" I mean, it was so much that the Velcro wasn't holding, the windlass stuff would snap and break, and so we bought 50 through the grant, SAM XT tourniquets, the most expensive, nicest we could get for them, because we got lots of money from a grant. Forest land classification. So we talked about with the forest land classification, an area on Drift Creek Road, which is where Wapiti Park is, and that area that was an island out there. And when the forest land classification committee looked at it, they said, "It's not supposed to be an island. Why do you guys have this out there?" And I said, "I don't know. You guys, it was been in there for a long time." So they wanted to look at it and put it back in forest land, which means that they would be assessed Oregon Department of Forestry. The Forest Patrol surcharge. It would do nothing for the amount of money we get, absolutely nothing. It just adds a little bit more to ODF. In order to do that, they would have to declare that, then have public hearings with the homeowners and do all that kind of stuff. They went out and looked at it and said, maybe we don't want to do this now. So it's still kind of out there with those guys. But it may affect, the only way it would affect us if people start calling and complaining about it. But again, it's all done through a whole process in which, again, if we declare, if we say yes, we think it should be in there because it doesn't meet the criteria for it to be out of there, because it's been out, it has to go through a public hearings process that Oregon Department of Forestry puts together. And then they assess the homeowners the amount that it would be in there.
Do we go that far?
Yes. Yeah, it's right in the middle.
Is that the old ranch out there? You're talking about
where Wapiti Park is? Yeah,
well,
it's now
behind
the campground there. Yeah, all that area that it goes up to before it turns into the gravel road and then pops up over the hill on the other side.
That whole area.
That whole area in there is out of forest land classification. And so when they looked at it on a map, in their rules it says they don't want any islands. Well, that whole thing was just an island out there. And when the group looked at it, they said, "We're not even meeting our own rules. Why is it out there?" And I said, "This is done years ago. I wasn't part of that. I couldn't tell you." And so it was the consensus of the committee, and there's private landowners, ODF, us, there's a whole lot of people on this committee that said, let's look at it and put it back into forest land because it's completely surrounded by forest land. And then they said, and then they went out and actually a couple people went out and looked at it, and they didn't realize there were as many properties or houses in there. And they thought, well, maybe it was classified correctly. So it's going to be up to the committee. It's got nothing to do really with us. Our AFG grant was denied for turnouts. We did apply for a 2026 AFG grant to replace our mobile radios that are more than 20 years old. In fact, in most cases, they're 25 years old. And that's considered what they call a micro grant, but it's $75,000 from FEMA. So it's all been submitted. We'll see if we get it or not.
How much will the radios cost for 20 of them?
$75,000.
Oh, it is that much. Okay.
It's 26 radios, 6 dual band, and then 20 of the regular ones, and that includes installation, new antennas, everything that comes with it.
Then do you still have to go up to Highland Estates for?
Yes. These are just vehicles radios.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with the radio system. It's just new radios on the vehicle. So as the radio guy we buy from said, our radios are on borrowed time.
Mm-hmm.
They're that old, they don't make replacement parts for them anymore. As they break, they're
That's
done.
It. Mm-hmm.
So at some point we have to replace them, whether we do it by grant or by taking money out of our giant amount of funds that Nancy says we have.
That's right.
The ODF ESC grant reimbursement we received this year for the money that came out, we applied for next year's grant. Next year's grant actually raised it by $5,000. It's a 50-50 split. We're working with the state of Oregon to get this resiliency hub Connex box at Station 16. We're talking about getting some prep work done on the site. We may have to put some gravel down. We have to move the other larger Connex box out of there. But the electrical work was kind of the bigger one, and now the city wants to put a new pole for the new tsunami siren down there, which would make the electrical work that's on the current pole have to move to the new pole. They want to do that because there's a big giant bird's nest on top of the siren. My feeling is that I want to get rid of the bird's nest because it's doing nothing but destroying our area with all the bird poop and crap that's in our training area. And at some point in time, if we don't do anything, that siren that the nest is built on, it's going to rust and rot and fall down, and we hope it doesn't fall down when people are out there training. So I think it's a safety hazard, and the one reason we can go to ODF&W and get the thing to remove that is if it is a safety hazard. And then with the city wanting to replace the siren, it all kind of comes together. So I would rather that they do that than install a new pole on our property and run new electrical to it. So we've had those discussions about that. Couple things that are not on here. So the pancake breakfast didn't pay for itself. I think we got, what, about 800, help me out, Cody, 880 bucks was?
Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. And that didn't pay for everything that we bought, but we did get two donations, one for 500 and one for 2,000, in one letter, and those are being transferred to the Volunteer Association as we normally do. Does it go into your slush fund or whatever you're looking for? But most donations do go to the Volunteer Association.
Did you send a thank you note to Otis Cafe?
I have not yet.
Okay.
We're waiting for the thank you note from Otis Cafe for letting them park in our parking lot for the past 5 years. As soon as I get that, we'll send them for a couple of bottles of syrup.
Complain.
So, anyway, the pancake breakfast was good. It wasn't as successful as I've seen them in the past, but it did well.
Well, you also had the Elks pancake breakfast, and
I didn't know there was a competing pancake breakfast.
Well, yes, there was.
Oh, well. I think next year we're looking at maybe moving date and time. So.
Yes. So it may not be called the Father's Day pancake breakfast. And then we have a signed contract with Forest Sign for Station 12's new sign that's going to go in that the board approved in the budget.
How long ago?
For this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as this year's budget started, I had them, because the sooner we get it gets in before price increases occur. And so we're paying for half of that coming up on bill pay Friday, so that they don't start the work till they get half the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob's gonna go out and tear the old sign out, and they have to go in and put concrete. We have to pay for the electrical work. They're gonna have to run two complete separate circuits out of the panel box through the attic down and over to the sign. One runs the sign and one runs the reader board portion of it. So that'll be on us. Everything else is, I believe the contract was for $42,000-$43,000, so we'll be paying for half that up front. So that's been signed. That's all I got. Next month you'll see a new policy, or not a new policy, an updated policy for cybersecurity. I sent that off to FastTech, and they've sent me all the changes that they feel need to be done, because our old policy said Gen X all over it. So we've updated that with the new stuff that they have. And there's one section on there that we're still, he gave me a horror story about some employee that was leaving and then put a headset on and dialed 1-900 and listened to somebody talking dirty to him for 8 or 10 hours. And the company he worked for got charged for it. So kind of a unique way to last couple of days at work. Gives me ideas.
Does anybody have any other questions for Chief?
Or comments?
Or comments. Upcoming district board member activities, July 20th, safety meeting, 5 p.m. August 4th, National Night Out. And does anybody have anything for good to the order? Call for public comments and non-agenda items. Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxford?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Motion passes.
Thank you, everybody.